Hey, you're on the hot mic at Arch DevOps with Fritz. I'm here today with Dr. Stan Ward, founder of Influence Coaching. How are you today, sir?
Rocking and rolling. Good to meet with you.
Rocking and rolling. I've never had anybody come on like that. You must be turned up to 11. You seem like a laid-back guy. Are you like, woohoo, about stuff? Or
you know, the things I'm enthusiastic about, I get really enthusiastic about. I'm pretty steady, though. So on the Myers-Briggs, I'm an INTJ.
Okay. Those are like the really good ones, right? Like, I think I just barely missed it.
Well, you know? I think all of those are good ones, but just means I'm a little more on the introverted side, pretty thoughtful, yet I can fake the extrovert.
There we go. Yeah, I think I'm firmly in the E side, although I can't remember what the other three letters are, but I'm an extrovert and I'm proud of it, I guess. I don't know. You know, for a long time, I didn't know. I'm like, well, what am I? Because people were like, well, are you sure you're an extrovert? Because you like to sit at home and have time to yourself. And I'm like, I don't know. I think I just do that sometimes because I'm tired, you know, and I still got to do something, but I love getting around people.
Where you draw your energy, right? Yeah. So I genuinely like people, but a lot of people time makes me tired because I draw my energy from working with ideas.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I draw my energy from podcasting. So I guess.
Yeah, perfect. You're in the right spot.
I'm an E, man.
This is like the equivalent of 6 cups of coffee.
There we go. Oh, you measure it in cups. How quaint.
Yeah.
I measure mine in pots.
It comes in pints.
Oh, man. I like you already. You're already making Lord of the Rings references. 10 points for Gryffindor. So, well, excellent. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm Ravenclaw, but that's okay.
Are you? You know, most of the people I get on, they're like, I'm a Slytherin. And I'm
Dr.
like, I should have guessed.
Ravenclaw.
There we go. Excellent. Oh, man. I've never had a Ravenclaw on the show before. That's great.
Oh.
I don't know what I am. I'm probably a Hufflepuff or a Grumblebunk or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Influence Coaching. What do you do in your day job?
Yeah. So a couple things. One is I specialize in 360 feedback and leadership coaching.
Yeah.
So what 360 feedback does is it allows you to understand how your work is being perceived or how your work impacts other people, both as peers, maybe your board or your direct boss, and then the people you manage.
Okay.
And my focus is essentially you could think of three leadership buckets. Okay. You can put all your leadership skills into one of these buckets. So there's the technical bucket, which is just about getting stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
The relational bucket, which is how you work with people, how you impact them, communication skills, and then the conceptual bucket, the strategic thinking, business planning, that sort of space, the paradigms you need to be an effective leader.
All right.
And essentially, I help people with the relational and the conceptual bucket because the way promotions work is you get promoted at first because you're really good at just getting stuff done, the technical bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But the further up you go, the less important that bucket is and the more important the relational and conceptual is. And that's where people sidetrack.
Yes. You know, that sounds like that's taken right out of the concepts in that book, The E-Myth Revisited. It sounds similar. Have you read that book?
I have not. That model is actually from a gentleman named Robert Katz in the 1950s. So it's an early leadership development model. And my PhD is leadership studies.
Okay.
So even though there's been a lot of leadership models that have come along after that and models that I appreciate, I find for my clients and the client work I do, really that three skill model, or I call it the three bucket model, and it really resonates with folks.
Okay, very cool. Well, I like that because anytime you can take, you know, this big gobbledygook idea of work, like how is work done, and, you know, transform it from I'm just kind of doing stuff like, you know, and break it down into different categories, it really makes it a lot clearer, you know, because some of the time you're busy doing the technical piece. Sometimes you're doing the relational piece. You're working with people. Sometimes you got to think big picture, process, strategy. And when you can think of it in terms of, okay, I'm focused on the technical piece, or no, I'm doing strategy right now. That really helps you focus. I find in my own life, like the context switching is what kills me. You know, I'm like switching around and trying to figure out, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then it ends up being like just really, really reactive. And I lose so much time.
And so, you start to feel really ineffective. So that, yes. that leads me to the other part of my work. So I just published this book, How to Beat Burnout for Yourself, Cool. Your Family, and Your Team.
Nice.
And one of the burnout factors I look for is just this gnawing sense of ineffectiveness.
Yes.
And so if you're not aware that you're in the technical bucket, or you're not in the technical bucket, if you're not aware of the fact that you're in the relational or conceptual bucket right now, you can actually feel really ineffective. Because technical bucket's like mowing your lawn. I mean, you can just look behind you and see that you got stuff done.
Right.
The relational and conceptual can be a lot harder to manage or to measure.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. So does it seem, I guess it seems like relational and conceptual, they kind of bleed together. It's a little bit harder to like distinguish between those two, would you say?
Yeah, I think you might think of head, heart, and hands, right?
Okay.
So all right. Conceptual would be head, relational would be heart, technical would be hands.
Cool. Okay. Man, I'm learning stuff from you. This is cool. See, this is one of my favorite parts about podcasting is I'll have people on that are like a lot smarter than me. And then I'll be like, hey, I get to siphon all kinds of new knowledge out of that person. It's great.
Yeah. Well, but we've already covered your background at DevOps and that kind of thing. That's not my, you're a lot smarter than me in that space. So we all have our niche, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, you were talking about, you used the term burned out, right? And I know, and I've talked with people, oh my goodness. And I've got people in mind, like I can see their faces clearly in my mind of ones that are just burnt out, like they are just done with work. They're done with life. They're not trying to retire. They're just done, you know? And the guy I've got in mind, I talked with him a couple of years ago when I was catching up with him. And he said, I just want to like leave and go somewhere, like just get out. He said, I'm just done. I'm burned out. He's like, I don't have any fuel left. And I know that there's a difference between that and being worn out, like just tired, you know, like I think if you're doing work right, you should be tired after a good day. Like, ha, wow. You sleep like a rock, you know? So, I mean, what are some ways that people can distinguish, like, how can they tell if they're actually burnt out or if they're just worn out, they're just tired?
I'm going to give you two ways.
Okay.
One will be a metaphor.
All right.
The other will be a working model. So let's start with a metaphor. Think of the difference between what happens to an engine when you run out of gasoline versus what happens to an engine when you run it without oil.
Okay.
So gasoline engine, right? When it runs out, it's just boom, 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 and it's done. It stops.
Right.
Okay. That's worn out. You're out of fuel, out of gas. You got to refuel, get going again.
Mm-hmm.
The engine that is run without oil, and this is what's so crazy, the engine can still run for a while, even though it's without oil.
Mm-hmm.
What's the engine doing to itself?
Well, it's damaging itself.
Yeah, and eventually it'll blow itself up.
Yes.
That's burnout.
Okay.
And so the research on how to measure burnout goes back to the 1980s. There's a thing called the Maslach Burnout Inventory that I use for my work is a baseline. And there's three categories or three dimensions of burnout.
Okay.
Emotional exhaustion, which would be the worn out piece. The next is depersonalization, which is basically disconnecting from people, becoming cynical, even disconnecting from the purpose of your work.
Mm-hmm.
And the last is lack of personal accomplishment, which I express as just being ineffective, a sense of ineffectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all a spectrum. So all of us are on the spectrum somewhere. It's just a question of whether it's hurting us or not.
Right.
And so when we start to max out in that area of emotional exhaustion, and often that comes first, and you can see how, because if I'm tired, I may not want to deal with people. I may depersonalize. I may withdraw to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm feeling ineffective at my work. That's where we start to get into that true burnout space.
Yeah. Well, kind of going back to talking about introvert and extrovert, you know, it seems like introverts by default may pull back just because being around a lot of people kind of, you know, wears them out, right? So that seems like it might create a little bit of like muddy the waters, you know, like how could an introvert tell, like, oh my goodness, am I actually burning out? Like, is it starting? Oh my goodness. Like, how would they know?
Yeah. So I talk about that in the book a little bit, that there's a difference between depersonalization and being introverted. Again, this is where the INTJ is helpful for me to come into this work, because I understand the need to be alone to re-energize.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to look for is a change. In other words, if I previously loved being around all these people and now I can't stand them and I don't want to go to work, and every time I think about that, I've just got this gnawing hole in my gut, or my chest is tight, that's telling you something, because that's a significant change.
So start
with rest. And if rest doesn't start to put the needle back the other direction, then you know, okay, this other thing is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because it's a spectrum, that's actually good news. It's not a switch. You're not burned out or not burned out. We're all somewhere on the spectrum. And so the question is, how can we be proactive to make sure we're pushing ourselves toward the positive end to protect against the negative end? And for me, I motivate that by saying self-care is not selfish. I don't, for whatever reason, that word self-care for me, I wrestle with it a little bit. Self-care is not selfish. Why? Because I'm going to make sure I'm pushing toward the positive end of the spectrum because of how it affects my family, as well as how it affects the people I lead. And yeah, it affects me, but I've got to be in a good space so I can take care of those folks, so I can show up the way I want to show up in the world.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it's like your focus being your family, the focus being like the people you care about, it kind of pulls you in the right direction. You know, like if I want to succeed at this, then I have to take care of myself in this way, so I have what I need in order to accomplish that goal. That's good.
And that's an example of conceptual work.
Okay.
Right? Because I've reframed the paradigm of what self-care means. Self-care is not selfish.
Okay. I like that. Self-care is not selfish. I'm stealing that. It's mine now.
Okay. Go for it. What's the joke? If you just take the idea from one person, it's plagiarism. If you take it from a bunch of people, it's scholarship. So just be sure to throw in a lot of other ideas from other people. You'll be fine.
Kind of mix it all together. It's like a casserole.
Yeah, yeah. Make it a gumbo.
Yeah, there we go. No, but that's really good, because I think people, it's kind of like a push-pull thing, right? You know, people are trying to push forward and get what they need in order to take care of their family, whereas their focus, if it is the family, if it is the people they care about, then the stuff just sort of happens. You know, it'll work itself out. You know, you know, your focus, I guess I'll use a metaphor too. I don't know a whole lot about karate, so I don't know why I keep using this, but apparently if you want to break a board, you're not supposed to focus on the board. You're supposed to focus on a point like a couple feet past the board, because your fist will actually slow down. If your focus is the board, but if you just want to get it from point A to point B, then breaking the board becomes a side effect of that, right? So you're hitting it as hard as you can, and it's like, whoops, I accidentally did the thing that I was seeking to do in the first place. So if your focus is the family, then a nice side effect is you end up figuring out ways to manage your self-care, manage taking care of yourself. So that really
I'll
is
give
cool.
you another illustration of this that's very similar to the karate.
All right.
So a lot of times on the depersonalization side, if I'm in a relationship, things are getting rough, there's a lot of confrontation or there's some conflict there.
Right.
And I don't enjoy conflict. And that's another work I do is workshops on how to move from conflict to collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my tricks is to think, what do I want this relationship to look like in 6 months?
Okay.
Go there. Do that.
Okay.
Do the things that prepare me for that relationship in 6 months. And so that keeps me from blowing up on the spot.
Okay.
I also used to be a humanities teacher and worked in high school settings and became a high school administrator for a while. And one of the things I learned in graduate school was the difference between a comedy and a tragedy is not that one is funny and one is sad. Comedies end in community. Tragedies end in isolation.
Okay.
And so another trick is when I find myself wanting to withdraw and wanting to just say, okay, I'm done with this person, to think, wait, I want to live a comic story, not a tragic one. So what do I need to do that? And that's not saying I'm just going to hang out with toxic people all day long. That's a different skill set. But thinking about family relationships, coworker relationships, what do I want this to look like in 6 months? I want to live a comic story, not a tragic one.
Okay. Man, you're on fire today. Is this always in your head? Like you just, you have this running around in your head all the time?
So I'm learning all kinds of stuff. Who knows to go to Disneyland? You can see that this just burned my hair off, right? Yeah. There's so much going on up there that.
Yeah. Well, my hair is turning white under this ball cap. So I don't know what we're doing with our conceptual work, man, but it's ruinous to hair. Ruinous to hair. So, well, you know, one of the things that I've noticed over the years, I mean, I see it all the time in IT, and I was just talking about this with someone the other day, you know, sometimes you get these rock stars. They're just awesome, right? They're 10 times better than anybody else, right? And it's like, okay. And I've seen high achievers like that hit burnout, like honest to God burnout. They're not just worn out. They're just done. Right. So, you know, it's important to have high achievers, you know, cause they can kind of help drive things forward if they're used right. But how can they beat burnout? Like, how can they get around that? Have you done any research on that?
Sure. Well, and just practical work in that space. And some of the folks I've coached are in the IT space. So I get what you're saying, as well as aerospace engineers.
Okay.
So I understand that engineering technical mindset. And again, this is where the buckets come in, because if you think everything's about the technical bucket and that's all that matters, you're setting yourself up for burnout.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's all about balance. You got to mix it together.
I would say attention management.
Okay.
I don't like the idea of balance so much, because it kind of suggests there's this perfect, you know, point where everything is balanced.
Yeah.
All is well. I am one with the force is with me, right? So that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about the discernment to know, where do I need to put my energy?
Okay.
What do I need to be doing to replace that energy?
Okay. Kind of a nature abhors a vacuum type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've actually I found from my own experience, like when I'm moving in more and more into that burnout space, I'm still running. I'm the engine that's running without oil. What I'm filling that vacuum with is a lot of anger, you know, a lot of the sort of darker emotions, right?
Yeah.
And self reproach or whatever, right? I gotta get this done. I'm not good enough. I'm gonna show these. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's only gonna serve me for so long, and then it's gonna start to do some damage.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Man, I'm learning all kinds of cool stuff from you today, man.
It's been a fun conversation.
It has been. You know, this is something I honestly, I have struggled with for years. I've struggled with it. And, you know, I've come out of some really dark times in my mind, you know, trying to figure out, like, what am I supposed to be doing? Where am I supposed to be spending my energy? Feeling overwhelmed, feeling like I'm not getting things done. I've probably experienced burnout more than a few times now that I understand, like, your definition of it. And knowing about balance, knowing about, like, it's not all technical. It's not all hand work. It's head and heart work as well. That's been helpful. See, this is why I like doing these podcasts. You know, I get on with people. I get on with awesome guests like yourself, and I never know where it's going to go. And the extrovert and adventurous person in me is just like, well, let's go find out. Let's see what that's going to be about. And yay. Well, this has been profitable for me. So.
Yeah, great. I would encourage you today, as you're moving through your day, just pause periodically and think, okay, is this about my head? Is this about my heart? Is this about my hands?
Okay. I'm going to do that. That's a good exercise for me. Well, I saw that you had a book, and for the folks listening, he held it up, and it's a neat looking book. It looks fairly thin. It looks like maybe it's, I don't know, 100 pages thereabouts.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think 120 total, including the front matter, back matter.
Nice. Good deal. Well, I've got a link to that book in the show notes as well. So I'll be sure to put that in the description. But it's been amazing talking with you, man. I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. And I don't know a whole lot about the space, but you've got the potential to help lots of people that are probably having big, big problems and they don't know what the heck. And you're able to put them on the straight and narrow. So good on you.
Thanks, man. That's the goal.
Excellent. Well, thanks for your time today. And, you know, if you had any recommendations for guests, actually, you know, if you know people, I'm more than happy to have people on. And if you know, like, if there's anything you could say to them about, like, why should they get on the show, like, what would that be? Why should they get on the show?
Well, one, you're very approachable. And you're a good conversationalist. I have been in interviews before where the interviewer was more focused on getting their two cents in than actually having a conversation.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. That's exactly the facade that I'm trying to put on. I'm joking.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah, that's right. You're completely excellent. Depersonalized. This is all a mask.
It's all a mask, man. It's all a front. I'm fronting. Well, it's good talking with you, and I will get this pushed up fairly soon. And I hope you have a good rest of the day, rest of the week, and stay safe out there, all right?
Do the same. Take care.
Right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you a founder, co-founder, entrepreneur, or a leader, and you want to get your message out? This might be the best place to do it. Podcasting is one of the best ways to build rapport with people because they could put a name to a voice and know more about what drives you. Plus, who doesn't love a good story? If you're interested in grabbing a spot, head over to anchor.fm/archdevops for details.